Last week, we have an interesting event happening here in the nation. We have a big election, and for the previous weeks, you will probably noticing a lot of commercials on TV, and a lot of these scenes were quite nasty. And I don't know about you, but when we are, the closer you get to the election, the more tired you get of these commercials. And everybody is honest, they are hardworking, they want to fix you and fix your family with the great ideas that they have, as long as you elect them to be your representative. And had you noticed that they always made these amazing promises, and they are so uprighteous and so moral and so good, they never lie, they are honest, hardworking people, right? And then you realize that you are listening to a politician. And you discover there is no such a thing like an honest politician, right? Maybe you think there's one or two somewhere there, but they are like unicorns. Fantasy. So through all these weeks of listening to these people promise you, you know, how they want to improve the country and the things that we need to do to secure a better future, then you get to the realization that today, more than ever, we need an infusion of real good ethics and moral values in politics, right? This following week, you will have a meal in your home, hopefully, with your loved ones and people visiting you, and maybe in your house, like in ours, there's always a rule about the meal, right? What are the two things that you don't talk when you are eating? The tofu or the turkey or whatever you decide to eat at that meal. So what are the two subjects that you will ban from your table, Tom? You're open to everyone. Okay. So if you want to talk about anything, let's visit Tom, okay? Most of the families, they will tell you, please don't talk about religion, and then don't talk about politics, because these two don't mix well, right? And maybe somebody get that idea, because in reality, we have a lot of problems with these two areas, right? Religion and politics. But when they are combined in the right way, they are amazing. You find in Scripture a lot of people that they were faithful to God and they were politicians. Think about Daniel. He was a faithful messenger to God, and also he was a good politician, right? Think about Moses. God asking him to deliver a message to Pharaoh, and he did. He was faithful to that. Think about Jesus. He was faithful preaching the gospel among a lot of people who was very difficult. Politics and religion don't mix really well today in our society. And I was thinking about that, and I selected a passage in the Old Testament. So please open your Bibles in the second book of Kings, chapter 20. If you are there, just give me some signal that you are there. You know, open your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, raise your hand. I will bring you one. So it's important that you have some contact with the Scripture today. If you don't want to use a book, you can use your cellular phone, right? You have the app for the Bible. So many ways that you can open a Scripture today to yourself. So 2 Kings chapter 20. I want to do some reading in there. And it's in reference to a king and how he deal with some people who visit him. I was reading here in my contemporary version, and I would like to do some reading from here right now. Okay? Merodach Baladan, the son of the king of Babylon, and he learned that Hezekiah had been sick. He sent messengers and letters and a gift from him. Hezekiah welcomed the messengers and showed them all the silver, all the gold, all the spices, and the fine oils that they were in his storehouse. He even showed them where he kept his weapons. Nothing in his kingdom, in his palace, or his entire kingdom was kept hidden from them. Isaiah asked Hezekiah, "Where did this man come from? And with the one?" "They come all the way from Babylon," Hezekiah answered. "What did you show them?" Isaiah asked. Hezekiah answered, I shoved in everything in my kingdom. Then Isaiah told Hezekiah, I have a message for you from the Lord. One day, everything you and your ancestor had stored up and built, it will be taken to Babylon. The Lord has promised that nothing will be left. Some of your sons will be taken to Babylon, where they will be disgraced and made to serve in the king's palace. Hezekiah thought, at least our nation will be in peace for a while. So he told Isaiah, the message you brought from me, from the Lord, is good. That's an interesting story, you don't think? The question that the prophet asked the king is, what do you show these people when they come to visit your house? And what was the answer? Show them everything, right? Jewelry, furniture, the best rooms, where we storage our food, where we put our weapons. He gave them the great tour of the whole palace. And the guy liked to show his blink, right? He wanted to impress the visitors with his money. And he didn't spare anything. He was showing everything that he had in his house. So what was the answer from God? Why was God so angry with this king? What do you think? What was his sin? What was his problem? Not, he don't give glory to God. That can be a good answer. Do you think that the problem was that he was being a show-off, you know, presenting all the things that he had in his house? In power, that was the problem. But I want you to think about this seriously, because that story in the scripture can apply to you and to me. In fact, that story can be applied to this church or to our nation today. The story mentioned that the reason that God was punishing the king is not because what he showed, but what he didn't show. When you are reading chapter 20 in the second book of Kings, you discover that this king was very sick. And God did something very interesting in this chapter, and I don't remember seeing anything like this in the scripture other than in this case. And pay attention to how the chapter begins, chapter 20. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. So he was really sick, right? And Isaiah, the same prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, thus says the Lord. So here, God is sending you a message, right? So I'm pretty sure the king was paying attention. Set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Brief and to the point, right? What will happen to you? You will die. And pretty soon. So get your will, your testament ready. Select whoever is, you know, replacing you and put it in place. Because pretty soon you will die. So at least somebody will continue having control over the kingdom. And how many of you had ever considered that idea, that God can reveal to you when you will die? What do you think about that? You are making plans for 2019 right now, right? Don't rush too much. Let me tell you that in 3 days you will be gone. We will miss you, but hey, God love you, right? You are planning to do a great celebration toward the end of the year. Hey, don't get too excited. You won't be there, you know. We will miss you. So, you see, this is a very serious message that confronts with reality. And I had Brian here, and he go through a very serious surgery recently, and he get what I'm trying to say. When you get confronted with death, then everything changes, right? Life kind of like doesn't make sense the normal way that you do, right? You keep working really hard, you are saving money, you are planning in retirement, and the doctor tells you, no, you had cancer. And it's stage 4, and it's nothing that we can do other than giving you some quality of time, help you with the pain. And then you realize that all your dreams and all your plans and all these great ideas, they kind of like dissipate right now. That's how this person is feeling, this king. He's very rich, he's very powerful, but he knows that he's dying. You know what he did in his own bed, probably because he was surrounded by people? And continue reading with me here in verse number 3. And let's start in verse number 2. Then he turned his face toward the wall. So being on the bed, he can move because he's really sick. The only thing that he can do to get some private time is he turned his face from the people that is around him, helping him, and face the wall and start having this very honest and deep prayer with God, right? And he talked to God and he's asking God to help him, right? He said, remember now, O Lord, I pray that I had walked before you and through and I've been loyal heart and I had done what you was good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. So he was crying, really sad, because he didn't want to die. And it's interesting, but the majority of the time when you talk to people that they are very sick or they are sick, you discover that none of us want to die, right? We want to stay here as long as we can, for the longest we can, enjoying this moment. But we all know that eventually one day it will be my time. So God did something so interesting in the story that, again, you don't find that in any other word in the scripture. He gave to the king not only the promise of healing, but he assured the king, you will have 15 more years of time, of life. Okay, that's an amazing answer, right? And it made you wonder, at least in this case, for this specific king, that it would be better for him to die at that moment than continue living 15 more years. And one of the main reasons is because in chapter 21 in the same book, you discover that his son, that he was procreated after he got healed from this sickness, was one of the worst kings ever in that kingdom. So he will die right here. That boy was never to be born. You see, in occasions we pray with God and we ask for this crazy stuff, thinking that we know better, but God really knows better than us, right? Later after his heal, because in part of the request, he asked for a sign, and the sign was that the sun shadow in the clock will move 10 degrees. And I was trying to figure out how much time is 10 degrees in a sundial, right? And it's around 40 minutes. And keep in mind that the sun doesn't come back. It's moving at high speed, and the planet is moving at high speed. So how this happened, I don't know. But God make it happen for this king as a testimony that he will be healed. And probably people in Babylon who was watching the sky and was following the stars noticed this phenomenon and say, well, wait a minute, this is not normal. The sun is going backwards. Something is really strange here. And they send later messengers because they want to know more about this miracle, right? They are interested in knowing what happened. So when these people came and visited the king, instead of the king presenting them how amazing God was and how amazing was his answer to prayer because he was really, really sick, now he was healed, he started showing them his treasures, his money, his house, all that the things that he had in his possession. And that brings me to my first point today. Do you guys remember what was the text that somebody read at the beginning for our introduction today? Matthew chapter 12, verse 33 to 37. But the text is saying something like, a good man from his heart get the good treasure, right? And a bad person from his heart get what? The bad treasure. So what is the meaning of that? Okay, adults with me here. What is the meaning of that? If you have a good heart, then good things will come out of your heart, right? So how we understand that today in our context at church? Well, people who have faith, who have an encounter with God, they will express it with words. They will give you encouragement, right? They will talk about the praises and the things that God had done for them, because they are getting from their good treasure the things that they want to share with you. But if they have a bad treasure, what they will give you? Right? Negativity, criticisms. He will bring you down. He will always put downs in your mind. And you know, one of the things that always is kind of like affect me a lot, especially being a pastor of the church, is that we are such an excellent people to criticize things, but we are very slow to do things. Have you noticed that? That we are really fast with our mouth to talk and put things down, but we are really slow with our actions to do things for God, right? And I listen, you know, we were having a discussion in Salvador School. I was listening to the Salvador School. The church is not doing anything for this community. And I had to correct you. This church is involved in this community. Perhaps you have been absent from the activities that we do for this community, but we do things for this community. And we would like you to be present when we do these things, but something happened. You know, I don't know what is the reasons, but things happen to everybody, right? And so if you think that nothing is happening at the Aiken Church, let me correct you. Things are happening in here. Maybe in a small scale, because this is a small church, but it's always something happening here, right? And so it kind of like made me sad that we are, like I say, really quick to put things down, but very slow to take action. And how I know that? Because when we do activities at church, you know, let's count the volunteers for the activity that we are doing. And then the hands start decreasing. And you don't see a lot of people like getting excited about this. So that gives me an idea of who is helping and who is not, right? God is really giving this rebuke to the king, because instead of giving glory to God, he is presenting these earthly things, right? He's presenting all his possessions. He's talking about money. He's talking about his education. He's talking about the accomplishments that he had in life. What about you? When people ask about your life, what do you like to talk about? What do you present? It's like an uplifting message, or you will go down like a heavy metal when people talk. When somebody comes to you because it's discouraged, what do you do? What do you say? Do you tell them how God had answered your prayers in the past? How amazing Jesus is? How amazing our God is to answer our prayers when we are in distress? Or you tend to go to the negative side? Or you tend to go to desperation? What do you do? When your kids at home, they ask you for things, what do? You know, kids are so interesting because they are so sincere and so honest that they give you answers that you never expect, right? And nothing like a little kid to make you feel embarrassed in front of friends or people at home. Like, always you have to be careful in what the little ones will say, and always be careful in what do you say in front of them, because they remember, they're like a little recording machines. Whatever you say, they will throw it back to you. Like, no, but dad, you say this and this and this. Oh, man. So kids are like that. So if you talk about in your house about faith and praying when you are in desperation, remember, the next time that you get in distress, what you need to do? Pray first, right? Instead of getting solutions and trying to get all desperate to find an answer, let's go to pray first. Let's keep our own commitments, right? So this king not only didn't present what God had just answered, which was an amazing prayer, he gave him life, but also he did this amazing thing in heaven. So these people get there to the kingdom expecting to know more about God, and the only things that they notice was the gold, the silver, the money that they have. And history will tell you that many years later, these people come back to Jerusalem and take everything back to Babylon. And you will say, why God is unfair? Is God unfair, really? He wasn't giving the right answer to this king. I feel like the king feel in another degree. Not only he didn't mention what God had done for him, but he didn't give the honor to God. And we had the same problem, right? When we are praying here at church, I want you to think about this carefully. What amount of time we spend, our time is spent more in asking things from God or for praising things about God? What do you think? Have you noticed what we do? So normally what we do, we spend more time requesting, right? Lord, please, we need this. My friend is in such and such a problem. Answer me in this way. Can you send me more money? Or I need a better job. Or I'm laid off. Or I'm sick. I don't know. So many things that we have. But what about the things that he had done for us? Do you talk about that? Do you mention to other people about that? You see, what Jesus is presenting here in the New Testament and what the Bible is telling you in the Old Testament is very similar. Your heart is the treasure. And whatever you put in there, that's what it will come out. Right? So if we put sad things, bad things, negativity in there, what it will come out from your heart? The same situation. I was having a conversation with a younger couple a few days ago. And the lady was telling me about some of their personal issues that they were having as a couple. But I noticed that she was very good in memory because she was remembering things that happened many, many years before. And then she was bringing it back to the present time. Have you noticed people like that? That they don't let go, that they continue remembering, right? So this lady was kind of like that. She was very good in remembering the things that her husband did wrong, and she was very good reminding him, but you did this and that and that, and she continued doing that. And so I was trying to explain her, like, that doesn't help your marriage if you continue doing that. Because if you solve that issue with your spouse, if you forgive him or forgive her, whatever the situation it is, you should move on from that. Why you are going back to remove the dirt and to get that cadaver from the ground? Why you want to see that issue that is already dead and it's underground that you supposedly move on? So what happened to us? What is happening is that in our heart, we haven't really let go, right? We retain certain issues. Jesus is challenging the people in his time with something very similar. When you read in chapter 12, you discover that the reason for the story of the good treasure and the bad treasure is because the leaders of the nation were accusing Jesus of working in alliance with Satan. Jesus did an amazing miracle, and instead of everybody getting happy and excited about that, they start wondering, how he did the miracle. Maybe he's working with the enemy. Maybe he's working in cahoot with Satan, right? And the Lord is explaining to them, I think you guys have a problem. And the problem is, no matter what you see, your heart still has this bitterness. I mentioned a few days ago that our community, our church, and our nation, this following week, we'd spend some time saying thank you to God. And I would like you to remember this as a challenge for this week. How about this week, instead of talking about bad things, we make an emphasis in the positive things that they are happening? How about instead of being so critical, we let go of these criticisms and maybe assure people that they had hope that they can get help from God? How about instead of focusing in the sad moments that you have in your life or the challenges that they are real in your life, you think about how God will help you this time? Because he will, like he had done in many other times. How about instead of thinking in desperation, we remember that we have a living God that soon will come back and give us eternal life? How about thinking more in Jesus and less in these earthly things? Are you a person who suffers from anxiety? Are you a person who gets stressed out? Have you ever considered why you get stressed out? And I discovered that nothing can make you sick faster than getting stressed. I don't know about you, but there have been cases in my life that I spend the whole night awake I remember a time when I was so stressed out that I didn't sleep. So my wife finally go and talk to my supervisor. My husband, who happened to be the pastor, is not sleeping. So what is the deal there, right? We are supposed to have peace and joy and things in life, but that wasn't in my life. I was stressed out in the church. So the senior pastor called me to his office and we had this conversation. And he asked me, why you are not sleeping? You know, like, well, what is the deal? So I start explaining to my senior pastor, well, every single time that we have a meeting in my other congregation, as soon as I finish the meeting, the members, instead of talking to me, they start calling you to complain about me. And I know that. And maybe they are right in their accusations, but instead of helping me, that is stressing me out a lot. Because I think I'm doing something terribly wrong. And they don't talk to me. They go and talk to you, my boss. And I'm concerned that I will get fired. Seriously, that was my main concern. So my senior pastor started praying with me and said, you need to calm down. Because if you continue doing this, you won't live longer in ministry. You will die really soon. So that was a great relief and a great lesson for me. And perhaps you have been in situations similar to this, that you are concerned maybe with debt, right? And you don't know how to pay this money, or you can't sleep, or you are concerned with other problems that you have in your family, real problems, and I'm not denying this. What I'm trying to explain to you is that distress, anguish, stress doesn't solve anything. Doesn't help you out. Somebody say, if your problem doesn't have a solution, why you worry about it? Right? Nothing that you can do about it. But if your problem even have a solution, then why you worry about it? You have a solution. So this is the challenge for you, dear church and members of this community. Let's make the following week a week of gratitude to God, of praising the Lord, remembering Jesus, getting excited about your salvation, telling others about what Jesus really means to you. When people come to this church, what do you think that they should see in this church? I hope it's not the veggie friends, right? Or veggie food. Who wants to see vegetables, right? We come to the church to see Jesus. Jesus incarnated in you and in me, in our life, right? Inspiration. So in hope that you go home and despite all your problems, somebody's caring for you, right? That God loves you. That we need to continue moving in the right direction. That yes, we have challenges as a community, as a church, maybe in your family too, but God is bigger than our problems. Amen? So please, next time that you got a temptation to be negative, like negative Nancy, and come down raining in every single project that you have, close your mouth for a moment. How about praying a little bit more? Right? Instead of going full force, let's think for a moment what we can do for our community, for our family, for our kids. And I hope that the Lord will bless us all in the following week. Amen? Heavenly Father, today we want to present our lives to you. Father, we know that on many occasions, instead of praising you and giving you honor and glory, we tend to focus on our problems, in our challenges. And they may be real, oh God, but you are real too. You are bigger than anything that we can confront in our lives. Please, Lord, during this week, help us to have a song of praise in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.